Brendan. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are we all?
How are you?
I'm really good. You know, it's wonderful to belong to a body of people, such a wonderful body of people. And it's wonderful to have belonged here for so long because, you know, I get to know people over the years and some people I'm still getting to know. And belonging to a body of people like this, you know, truly has a lot of benefits. So, for example, you know, over the last 30 years, I've had the privilege of teaching young men and women, you know, in business. You know, they come to our business and I get to work with them and I get to input, you know, into their lives. And, you know, I've had several apprentices and you know, through the course of their apprenticeship, I could have strangled any of them at any time because that can be a very frustrating training an apprentice. But if you persist and if you persevere and if you treat them in a godly way, by all accounts, have all actually turned out pretty good and they've all gone on and made very successful businesses for themselves. And the reason that I could impart to them, you know, good things, was because my character was formed well here, belonging to a body of people, sitting under leadership here, and, you know, taught me many things, and I was able to take that into my workplace and, you know, impart into those young men and women. So I count that as a privilege. And the other privilege that I've had is to raise three daughters. And of course, if you ask each one of them, they will tell you that they're the favourite, of course. But, you know, I may not have been a perfect father, but probably not a bad father. And I think I know that because they still like me. And when we have holidays, they still like to come along on holidays, especially because Dad's shouting. But it's only because my character was formed well here, belonging to a body of people, but belonging to a place where, you know, I've been taught good Christian values and, you know, there's been parameters around me that I've learnt to, understand. And so I was able to impart well into my daughters who now go on and live their own successful lives. And the other privilege I've had is, you know, I'm married to a beautiful, godly woman, and who's really blessed my life. But our marriage has been very good. But the reason that it's been good is because, again, you know, our characters have been well formed here in this place. So there's a lot of benefits to belonging to a body of people. There's so many benefits. It's difficult to quantify. And so some of you have been here for a long time, like me, starting to look like a bit of the furniture. But others of you are new and you've only been here for, you know, maybe a year or two or even shorter. And I just want to encourage you to stick it out, to stick it out, to press in, to lean in, even when things seem difficult, even when you grind a little, even when you find coming every Sunday is a little bit tiresome, or going to a cell group, you know, it's easier to stay home and watch the telly some cold nights. But if you lean in, if you press in, if you press into the call that God has upon your life to belong to a body of people like this, you can't believe the benefits over a long period of time. You'll see those benefits play out in your own life. And so 33 years ago, when I first started coming to servants, I wouldn't have imagined that I'd be up here today speaking to you guys. Like, it was just off my radar. I guess I came to servants at the time for, for a good time, not a long time, you know, when I first joined. And when I first joined servants, you know, my motives for praying and for seeking God's assistance in difficult areas of my life, my motives were very short-sighted and they were very short-term. I just wanted quick results, you know, so I'm young, I'm immature, I had a lot of difficulties in my life when I was around 30 years old when we first came here, I had a lot of character flaws, But I just wanted quick results. I wanted God to do things quickly. And I was playing the short game. I was playing the quick game. And since then, since that time, 33 years ago, so much water has passed under the bridge for me. And, so many issues in my life have come and gone, and things that seemed really important at one time I've forgotten about and maybe not so important anymore. You know, God's dealt with them and I've managed to move on. And so many of my prayers that I've prayed all throughout those 30 years, some have been answered and some are still yet to be fulfilled. But one thing that I've come to learn in all that time is that God plays the long game. God plays the long game. As a human with human frailties and insecurities, you know, I just prefer a fast game. A par three, Joe just said. I prefer a fast game with quick results. But God continues to play the long game. It's like in our family, we only have girls, and if I'd ever had boys, from day one, I would have been telling them that cricket is a lousy game, don't get involved. Simply because cricket on a Saturday afternoon for Dad can go from 4 to 8 hours. I don't have that kind of time in my life. If you can't knock a game over in an hour, find another game. That's always been my policy. But God doesn't work like that. God plays the long game. He plays the long game. And he wants us to be part of his long play. He wants us to join into his long play, and he wants us to learn to embrace the long play. All of us, you know, we just want, you know, short sprints, fast results. And often it's because we don't trust in God's goodness over the long term, over the long game. We just don't trust that it's going to happen. The Apostle Paul, he understood the long play, because towards the end of his life, when he's in prison and he's writing to Timothy, he talks about the marathon race. He's come to realise that he's involved in a marathon race. And when I go to the Bible, it's called Paul's Valedictory, the heading. And if I go to 2 Timothy 4, 7, it says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing and perhaps longed for his appearing. So Paul must have sensed that he was coming to the end of his time. He must have sensed that the end was near when he was writing to Timothy. And he must have sensed that the end was near, and yet he still hadn't seen the coming of the Messiah. And Paul had been through a lot of hardships. He'd gone through shipwrecks, he'd been beaten, he'd been hungry, he'd been cold. And he was forever expectant that Jesus was going to come again. And he possibly expected that to happen within his life, within his lifespan. So he thought, along with fellow people around him, that the return of Jesus was imminent. But as he got to the end of his life, he probably started to realize Jesus wasn't going to return in my lifetime, because he began to realize that he served Jehovah, God of the long play. God had a longer plan than even Paul imagined. And so that's nearly 2,000 years ago since Paul was martyred. And God's still playing the long game. Well, think about Moses. He was 40 years old when he had to flee Egypt. And then he spent 40 years working as a shepherd to his father-in-law, Jethro. But Moses began his life as a prince of Egypt. And in Acts 7, Stephen gives a description of Moses that, you know, he was eloquent of speech and of great learning. So as a prince of Egypt, he was eloquent of speech and of great learning. And he'd been there You know, he'd grown up and he spent 40 years, but then he had to flee. And by the time God met him in the burning bush, out in the wilderness, he was about 80 years old. And so he'd been out in the wilderness as a shepherd. He'd been there for 40 years. And Moses must have been completely broken down over that 40 years, because he began his career as a shepherd and he had eloquent speech and great learning. But 40 years after having been a shepherd, he was so broken down that he complained to God that I can't go and speak to Pharaoh because I'm not good of speech. So God must have broken him down a long way over that 40 years. And so basically, he was just a lowly shepherd with a speech impediment. It took God 40 years to turn him into the humblest man that ever lived. He's described as the humblest man that ever lived in Numbers 12. But in the meantime, over that 40-year period, the people in Israel were still suffering. They were still working under the whips of Pharaoh. But God couldn't be in a hurry with Moses. God needed to transform Moses in such a way that he was broken down and he was so humble that it was only somebody like him who could actually lead the people out of Egypt. And so we can see that transforming a person to be completely submitted to God's will seems to take a long time. I know it's taken God a long time with me, and he's still working on me. But God's prepared for the long play. He's a long-term God, because he's Jehovah of the long play. Look, Moses lived and died nearly 3,500 years ago. Paul lived and died 2,000 years ago, and yet God's long play continues. Or how about Noah? God puts it on Noah to build an ark. And by all accounts, scholars seem to think the ark took from 55 to 75 years to build. So can you imagine God giving you something, a task to do, and 75 years later, you're about finished? That's going to cause you a lot of stress. It's going to cause you a lot of heartache, because, well, this thing that you feel God has asked you to do, it just seems to have taken so long. And you would have copped a lot of ridicule along the way. But Noah was prepared to play the long game. Think about Isaiah, the prophet. He prophesied Jesus 700 years before Jesus was born. 700 years he prophesied. He was part of God's long play. Or think about John, who wrote the book of Revelation on the Isle of Patmos. He wrote the book of Revelation, and we're still waiting to see that play out. We're still waiting for that. God does the long play. And so we know that from the very first verse in Genesis till the very last verse in Revelation, which we still have has not come to pass, we see God playing the long game, and we see it all playing out before us. Look, ever since the death and resurrection of Jesus, people have been predicting the end times. Okay, the end is nigh, the end is near, the end, it's all about to happen. But the end has not come yet, and the play goes on. The long play goes on. Imagine if you were living in the 14th century when the Black Plague came around. 30% of the European population died in about a 7-year time period. It was a disaster. The plagues were a disaster. But if you were living at that time and you saw death and destruction all around you, you probably would have believed that the book of Revelation was happening before your very eyes. But the end didn't come then, and the long play still goes on. Or imagine if you were living in London during the time of the Blitz, with bombs falling all around, death and destruction all around you, and the invasion of Hitler was imminent. You would have believed then that the book of Revelation was playing out before your eyes. Or perhaps you were living in Poland. Imagine having lived in Poland with Nazi death camps all around you, death and destruction all around you, the D-Day was imminent. You knew that something was going to happen. America joined the war. You would have believed then that the book of Revelation was playing out before your eyes and that Jesus was about to return. But the end didn't come then, and the long play still went on. Even today, with all the troubles that we see in the Middle East, like, it's a disaster over there, and it seems impossible that there can be a solution. And currently, even the major players over there, there's no reconciliation. They can never reconcile unless they have a revelation of Jesus Christ. How soon do you think that's going to happen? Or how quickly do you think that that can happen? I was really encouraged last week when we saw that video. I couldn't even believe what I was seeing, that Jew, Arab and Gentile were all praying and worshipping in the same room. I was so moved by that. I was so moved. I've never seen that before. I couldn't believe that it was possible. But it is possible. And it seems to me as though that's part of God's long-term plan. But it would take a long time. It would take a long time. Or God could move sovereignly. I don't know which. But the end hasn't come. The end may not be coming. And the long play still goes on. Look, all through history, God is forever trying to get the humans to respond correctly. Correctly to the other humans around us. And correctly, how do we use the planetary resources that he's made available to us as the humans? How do we use those resources so that one group of humans can interact very well with another group of humans? And if we do, then humankind experiences improvements. It's a very difficult thing to do, and it's part of the long play. It's been going on for a long time. For example, at the start of the Industrial Revolution in the 1860s, 80% of the world's population lived below the poverty line. 80% of the world's population. When I was born in 1960, 50% of the world's population still lived below the poverty line. 1960 wasn't that long ago. And today, 2020, only 10% of the world's population lives below the poverty line, which is quite remarkable. There are still plenty of problems. But as the humans learn to use the resources that God's given us on the planet, as the humans learn to interact with each other, improvements can be made. But as we can see, different tensions around the world where a revelation of Jesus Christ has not taken place, things can still be very difficult. So if history tells us anything, we should remember that many people have gone before us who thought that the end was nigh, or thought that the end was near. But the end didn't come then, and the long play still goes on. So how do we bring the long play down into our own individual life, or the life that we live here in a body of people? How do we embrace that long play? It seems to me that God is very patient with us if we play the long game with him. He's very patient with us. In my experience, there is rarely a short-term answer to prayer. Sometimes there is, but mostly there's rarely a short-term answer to prayer. Prayer often seems to be answered over the long term if we embrace and play the long game. One of God's character traits that you can find in Exodus, you can find it in Numbers, you can find it in the Psalms, you can find it in Proverbs, you can find it in Romans, Peter 1 and Peter 2. One of God's traits is that God is long-suffering. Or I read that it's better described in the Greek as God is long-tempered. He'll put up with things for a long time. God wants us to change and get better at who we are and what we do and how we interact with each other. If we can embrace his long play, if we can embrace the way that he does things in the long term. And if we do that, he's patient because God is long-tempered. And so why is the long play so beneficial to us as a group of people or as individuals? Well, simply because situations that we hope and pray for in our life seem to have better results if we wait on God's timing. God's timing, to me, is usually so much slower than I want it to be. Okay? I don't know what it is about God, but everything seems to go so much slower. But in our experience, or my experience, hasty results are usually not always the best results. Adrian and I have learnt over the years that, we've had to wait on different events occurring in our life. We've had to wait on different situations that we might have prayed for. And, you know, situations that we wanted to evolve in our life, we've had to wait and be patient. And when we have waited and when we have been patient, the results have always been better than we originally set out or thought that they might be, because we've waited on God and we've been patient. I have some Christian friends who have been trying to buy into a franchise, and they told me about it 3 years ago, and they were just about to do it, and it was all just about to happen. But it didn't, and then this happened and that happened, and you know, it's been hard for them, but they've really felt that God called them into doing this particular thing, and they've been very sure about it. So there's been a lot of frustration for them along the way. There's been, you know, tears and frustration and questioning, did God really say it? And just recently, all the pieces have begun to fall into place after 3 years. And the deal that they're about to, that they're getting into is so much better than what it would have been if they jumped in 3 years ago. Because, you know, they've been faithful to him, but God is faithful to them. He's presenting them with a much better situation. So we serve a God who wants the best for us, but we must prepare to play the long play with him, to play the long game. For example, a little seed falls in the ground, and it's only a tiny little seed. It falls in the ground and it dies and it grows up. And for a long time it's just a sapling, and then it's a taller sapling, and then it's a taller sapling. But it takes a long time for the tree to grow large enough for birds to come and nest in it. Takes a long time for it to grow into a mighty tree. And the tree has to go through growth, and growth equals work. So there's work and effort by the tree to keep growing. The long play is one of the great blessings of our life, because we start in a small place and then we grow up into a different person or a different place or different circumstances. One of the best things about the long play with God is it gives us the opportunity to iron things out in our life over time. If we just played a short game, we never get the opportunity to improve ourselves. We never give God the opportunity to grow us, nurture us, and mature us if we play the short game. In my life, I've struggled with many character flaws. Especially when I was younger, I had many defects. And, over time, God's been able to iron those defects out. But if I'd played the short game, God would never have had an opportunity to iron those things out. There are still things I need to iron out in my life. And if you don't think there are, I have a chat to Adriana. I'm sure she'll tell you a few things I've still got to deal with. But, you know, God is gracious to me. He's gracious to you. God is gracious and long-suffering. Because he plays the long game. He gives us time to allow him to have an effect on our changes that we need in our life. But as his impatient sons and daughters, if we had our own way, we would just play the short game. And we would give God no time to form our character, to fix us up, to change us. And to sort out our character flaws. After all these years here at Servants, I've really begun to appreciate the long game, the long play. I see the value in it. The long play gives me the opportunity to respond to God's calling in my life to the best of my abilities. And so in the fullness of time, I can see God's handiwork in my life, but it takes time. I can see God changing my life circumstances, but it takes time. It takes a long time. Look, when I was younger, I was very impatient, and things took longer than I expected. I wasn't happy. You know, I wanted quick results. But nowadays, you know, if things take longer or slower, much slower than I want, you know, I'm much more prepared for that. I'm comfortable with things taking a long time because I've come to understand God's wisdom. I've come to understand God's wisdom in allowing things to evolve slowly. Even now, Adriana and I have been working on a project that's nearly 4 years now. We've put a lot of effort into this project and there still is no fruit from it. But we know that God has called us to do this thing. And so we're prepared for this long play and we're prepared and expectant for a day of good report. See, God wants us all to be successful. But success has nothing to do with finances and recognition. But that's what the world would tell you. The definition of success, as I've come to understand it, is that to do the best that I can do, to be the best that I can be with the resources that God has given me. To do and be the best that I can be with the resources that God has given me. That's the definition of success, to my way of thinking. But success comes via the long play because it simply takes a long time to learn to be the best that we can be with the resources and the abilities that God has given us. In 1287, there was a woman called Margaret of Castello. She was born blind. She had severe curvature of the spine and she was a dwarf. So basically, she was a tiny little hunchback. So she didn't have a lot going for her. In fact, she was abandoned by her parents because she was so disabled. And she lived on the streets of Perugia in Italy as a young girl, blind, hunchback, in poverty, until eventually she was taken in by the Dominicans. She became known as a very holy woman and people began to seek her out for her prayers, for her to pray for them, because miracles would happen around her. She died at only 33 years of age in 1320. And 238 years later, they were doing some renovations in the church that she was buried in, and they came across her coffin. The coffin was rotten, the clothes on her were rotten, but her body was still intact. So she was reinterred and reburied, and 2 years ago, she was proclaimed a saint of the church. Now, in the world's eyes, she would not have appeared to be very successful, but in the kingdom of God, she was a great success. Everything that God creates is successful. God created the fish. He put the swim in the fish and the fish swim. God created the birds. He put the flight in the birds and the birds fly. They don't go to flight training school. They just fly. God creates a seed. Seed goes in the ground, turns into a beautiful tree. Everything that God creates is successful. Many of you here are successful and you don't realize it. You may not be successful in the eyes of the world, but you're certainly successful in God's eyes. Was it last week Cynthia celebrated her 80th birthday? Okay. So Cynthia's been here a long time. She's maintained a prayer life. She's walked a Christian journey that blesses us, blesses the body of Christ, and will continue to bless us for years to come. But I'm sure you won't find Cynthia with 800,000 followers on Insta famous. And so in the world's eyes, she may not appear to be, she may appear to be of little consequence. But in the kingdom of God, she's very successful. You know, even when I look around the room here, I see many successful people. But you wouldn't be successful in the world's eyes. Because I know that many of you have just been seeking God, God's will for your life, God's will for your family life. You've raised godly children. You've done the best that you can do with the resources that God has given you and with the abilities that He's blessed your life with. You are successful. You are successful, but not in the world's eyes. In 1979, Joe received a prophetic word here when they first started getting together. In 79, that's a long time ago now. And the word spoke of a plan that God would be so vast and so outreaching that we couldn't comprehend it. And the word went on to say, He was sowing seeds of a new garden. and that he would nourish and fertilize them. He, being God, God was sowing seeds of a new garden, and that he, God, would nourish and fertilize those seeds, and that the harvest would be great. And some may not be here to see that harvest. As my plan, that's God's plan, as my plan is so outreaching. Look, many people who started here in this body back in those times, they are not here now. People I remember well, like, John Fenwick, Maura Lees, Pat Wells, Mick Taylor, Annette Axiak, Colin Porter, and many, many others. They were all part of the long play. They're no longer here to see the fulfillment of that word in 1979. But whilst they were here, they sowed spiritually into this place. They sowed physically with their physical presence into this place. And they sowed financially into this place. And we now are all the beneficiaries of those who went before us. And we even sang that song this morning about, the thousands of generations who went before us. That's all part of God's long play. All those people are part of the long play. And now, as a great cloud of witnesses, they probably still are part of the long play. So we have not yet seen the full outworking of that prophetic word because it's God's long play. Look, God can intervene at any time and simply make all things happen and fix this up and fix that up. But it doesn't appear as though that's how he works based on history and based on the biblical accounts that we read. He seems to raise up humans over a long period of time to do superhuman tasks. And I think Richard even touched on that a few weeks ago, when he said how God uses mortal men to do superhuman tasks. Starting and then continuing communities such as this would have seemed to be a superhuman task if Joe could have seen then what he sees now. It would have seemed too hard, too difficult. But 40 years have passed. 40 years have passed from when Joe and those founding members got together, and here we still are. We're part of the long play. They began something in 79, and over a long period of time, we are all the recipients of what they began, and we're all part of God's long plan here. And so belonging to a community such as this, it does require us to support the leadership. It does require us to support the vision that we've all been called to. Belonging here requires us to embrace the long play. This is not a short game we're playing. It's a long game. It's a long play that we're all involved in. And so we've got to learn to embrace that. And so, part of belonging here also requires us to support the vision with our finances. And by all accounts, most of you are pretty good at that. Otherwise, we wouldn't find ourselves here where we are today. It's not easy to financially support the vision or any vision when times are hard or when the world events around us appear to be overwhelming us. But we need to operate in the field of the long play, not the short play field. Look, God's playing on a field of long play over there. And if we don't trust his way, then we find ourselves playing on a field of the short play over here. We're playing on two different fields. Malachi 3, verses 9, 10, and 11 talks about when we give to God, he gives back to us. And I've read it here before, and you're probably familiar with it. But there's promises in Malachi 3, 9, 10, and 11, where God says that he will increase our production. He will prevent the pests from devouring our crops. He will increase the yield in our vineyards. But his return blessing, it doesn't happen overnight. the reciprocal blessing that God promises us doesn't come back overnight. There's work to do. Fields need to be planted. Crops need to be harvested. Vineyards need to be trimmed. All this takes time and effort. A long time and a lot of effort. To be the recipient of God's blessings within the boundaries of the long play. It takes time and physical human effort and engagement, because the kingdom of God, it's not a theme park. The kingdom of God is a functioning kingdom. The kingdom of God is a working kingdom. It's not a holiday camp. It's real. And so the work that God gives us, this long play work, it blesses our life. Tending to the field that God has placed us in blesses our life. Like we work at raising families, that blesses our life. We might work in a career that God's given us. We might actually, you know, we might be in an apprenticeship, or we might be studying at uni. All of these activities, they take time. They take time. It's part of the long play. And God gets the opportunity to grow our character as we go along in those things that God has called us to do. But why do we hesitate when God calls us to give financially? I know that I hesitate, you know. And yet, in my own experience, I've come to learn that God won't be outdone in generosity. So when I give generously, God gives back to me considerably more generous over time. It takes time. You know, every week we tithe. You know, and in doing so, you know, we bless into the kingdom. We maintain this place. We have a place to come to each Sunday simply because we're all engaged in tithing, which is all part of the long play. And then twice a year, we have this additional collection. And I find myself hesitating twice a year. And I can't help it because I'm human. And, you know, I want to grasp and hold on to my own things. And when this Sunday comes around, this particular Sunday comes around, Adriana and I, we always pray about what we should be giving, and we pray separately. So we don't talk about it, we pray separately. And then we come back together, and we did this last week, and I'm always a little nervous about what she's going to say. Anyway, because we really do try and make it a sacrificial giving. And so this time we came back together, and basically we discussed the amount at work last week, and basically it's twice what we would normally give, which is, you know, us. You know, I'm nervous, you know, I hesitate, but I have to ask myself, why do I hesitate when it comes to giving? And it's simply because I have a short-term memory. I have a short-term memory. I forget how much God has blessed me in the past. I forget so quickly, and I have a short play mentality. You know, God has pulled us, our family, out of trouble so many times, especially when we were young and we struggled so hard. We really struggled hard. I remember once we were so broke, and it was coming up to winter and the house was getting cold, and I needed firewood. We had a fireplace at that time, and I needed $160 to buy a trailer full of good wood. And Joe asked us to go and do just a talk at some place. I think they were doing a Life in the Spirit, and we just had to give the Holy Spirit talk. And we went there one Saturday night, and we gave the talk, and, you know, I guess we did a reasonable job of it. We didn't get sacked from Joe. Joe didn't sack us. But at the end of it, we left, and we said goodbye to everyone. And the guy ran out and gave us an envelope, and I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a thank you card. When we got in the car, there was $160 in it. And I got a shock. I didn't realise people got paid to preach the gospel. But anyway, that allowed us to buy firewood and kept us warm through the winter. Or another time, we were so broke, even food was a problem at that time, and someone slipped $200 under our front door. You remember that, yeah. God's faithful to us. God was faithful to us. But I have a short-term memory. I forget those things when it comes around to the special collection twice a year. But the reason that most of us hesitate is simply because we have this short play mentality. We don't go for the long game. We're not involved in the long play. We just want short-term results. We want to be able to give and get get home, you know, wait on a blessing. We don't look at the long situation. We don't look at the long play that we've been involved with all these years anyway. We don't trust God that his blessings will come back to us in the fullness of time. We're looking for the fast food blessing, but God cooks a slow roast. When I first began tithing 30 years ago, it took some time before I really began to see the outworkings in our life, in our family's life or in our business life. You know, I was committed to tithing. In fact, you know, for many years we were struggling financially, but we were really committed to keep tithing, to be faithful to the vision that God had called us to. And, you know, we were so committed, it was a little painful because times were tough, but we persevered. And gradually, little by little, over time, you know, we have witnessed great blessings on our life and the life of our family. I remember when we first started, we had a tiny little electrical business 20 years ago, and it was so difficult even to get work, and our customers had no money, and everything seemed to cost so much, and our turnover and our profitability was a disaster. I would have been much better off on wages. But we persevered because we felt as though God had called us to do this. But nowadays, 20 years later, we get extraordinary jobs. We get all the best customers. We do something that not many people do. We do something very unique out there in my working world. And then people see what we do on Facebook or things or in our industry, and they say, man, you guys seem to get all the good jobs. Why is that? It's simply because God has been faithful to us. God's been really faithful. We're not a big company. We're still just a small company. We're very niche in what we do. But everything that God sends to us, we're really blessed with. And God sends us the kings of industry. They're the type of people that we work for. But I know that is only God has done that, simply because we've just been faithful to the call that God has on our life to support this place, you know, spiritually, physically and financially. So when I'm engaged on God's playing field, I'm engaged in the long play. And honestly, when I do that, I see an abundance of blessing on my life and the life of my family. And I can't encourage young people enough. If you're young and you're here and you know, you're just starting out in your careers, or you're thinking of getting into a business, or you're not even sure what you want to do. Once upon a time, I was kind of a frightened young person all the time. I had no idea where to go or what to do, or even when we were young and started a business. But I just stuck to the game plan, and I committed myself to God's long play. And whilst it seems hard now, and some of you are just buying your first home and it seems so difficult, you know, God... God is a God of the long play, and if you're faithful to him, he'd be so faithful to you, and you'll be up here one day testifying to the goodness of God. You know, God's long play allows us to, all of us, to witness here, even at this center, how he has been able to grow our centre. I remember, you know, we started off in a furniture truck and now we're here on a Sunday in a beautiful building. But it's only because of a faithful group of people like you over the long term that all these things are possible. You know, I'm sure that when things first started in 1979, Joe and the other founding members would never have imagined that we would find ourselves at a place like this years later. Amos 9:13 speaks about a time when the ploughman shall overtake the reaper. And this is describing a time of revival, when the harvest, it becomes so plentiful that the ploughman who's standing around waiting for the harvesters to finish their job, he can't wait anymore and he just starts ploughing. This is the ploughman overtaking the reaper. But ploughing and reaping, it all takes time. And this is all part of God's long play. And God encourages us today to cease being a people with a short play mindset, and come over and play on his field of the long play. You know, those words of Amos were written 750 BC, that's a long time ago, and still we are praying for revival. We're still playing for revival. We're still part of the long play 2,800 years later after Amos. And if we are prepared to keep playing the long game, then the church will one day see a revival where the plowman will actually overtake the reaper. But it's as I continue to sow into God's kingdom, either through tithing or giving, my actions will have a positive impact on God's long play, well beyond my own lifetime and into eternity. So all of us, you know, we need to move from a short play mentality to God's long play way of doing things. So that, you know, we can be a blessing to our families, but also a blessing to those around us now here in the body, but also a blessing to the future generations who will come to this place.